Can you stand up with your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10? I'm reading the first 12 verses for a text. Can we be on our feet as the custom of the Church of Jesus Christ is to honor the word from where we pick our text, just our own way of demonstrating the seriousness of the next part of the service. The most sincere part of the service is the opening of the word. This is the time that every true believer is waiting for. If I go to church, I'm dancing, yes. I'm falling under anointing, yes. But it does not better my Christian life. What betters my Christian life is what I hear. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. The word of God. It's important. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and we are all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Everybody, verse 12. Shall we go? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. And let's read 2 Corinthians again, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, just one verse, 11. Amen. Verse 11, it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And church, we are in a period of revival. Seriously, from the testimonies we hear, from what we see before us, especially within the last 1 year, particularly within the last 1 year, and the climax of it that we saw during this last program, there's evidence that there is a move of the Spirit. I was very, very excited when a sister who says she's not a member of this church, but she visits here regularly, and from what she heard, which she did not hear in her church, she says she decided to drop wearing trousers. And then we are hearing phone calls from our online members. People have decided to withdraw from their churches. They have heard something. And things are happening. We are here ministering. And somebody who is connecting through the television, even through the internet in Europe, they are also receiving the same spirit, the same anointing we are receiving here over there. And we are hearing all manner of manifestations taking place that lets me speak confidently that there is a bright revival going on. There's a revival that is going on, both with the individual and with the church. It may interest you to note that, to know that we here, the ministers, we are aware that the quality of membership of this church has changed. It is gradually changing from miracle and science-seeking crowd to a word-loving and believing crowd. Suddenly we are seeing people that are now interested to know more about God. More interested in establishing a relationship with God than just coming to God for what they will get from Him. And that is the purpose of the revival. To get the people that are heaven bound in their thoughts. To get the people that suddenly want to trim their lamps, trim their revelations. That the kind of testimony we hear more now, we hear more of our eyes of understanding opening than miracle, signs and wonders, testimonies. What is the attraction of the people coming here now? The attraction now is, go, come and hear something. Come and hear something. Praise the Lord. And that is evidenced by what is going on around the world. People are connecting. Service is going on now. Churches are even springing up all over, all around the world, around this truth. It lets me know that there is a revival going on, that truly the latter rain is falling. Amen. I get very excited over it because it is not easy with what the devil has done in the church to turn back the heart of the people back to this Bible. To see a people that want to walk with God according to His word. That find the people, a group of people that, contrary to what is going on, that they will hold on to this, the word of God. I hear people who tell me from outside Lagos that after they heard us concerning water baptism, they went to their pastors to challenge their pastors. Amen. There's something going on, and this is just the beginning. Oh, it's just the beginning. This is the day of the latter rain. And God is moving in His power again. And the power that God is moving is not miracle, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. You must catch it. When I explained, I think Friday night or so, about the impartation, we suddenly, God has begun to grant us understanding of this Bible. In the denomination, to impart is to say, take it. They call it impartation. But apostle, and they quote that same Romans chapter 1. But that's not what apostle Paul was saying. The next statement, let us understand that you might be established in the common faith. So apostle Paul was telling the Romans that he longed to see them, that he might impart some spiritual gift on them. Now to impart that in them, so that they will be established in the same faith. So he's not talking about then you fall down, you are shaking. Ah, I have received some impartation. That can never establish you. The impartation there is to give you an understanding. That is the impartation, an understanding. Amen. So that nobody will toss you to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You are established in the common faith, both of you and me. Apostle Paul, there is something he believes, and he wants you to believe the same thing. So he comes to impart it in you. Praise the Lord. And it is that impartation that makes us know so many things. Apostle Paul told us it is not proper that everybody in the church will stand up and speak in tongues. By the impartation of that knowledge, we now know that everybody cannot speak in tongues. I use that as an example. It's a bright revival. A sudden awareness to come back to Bible Christianity. But my emphasis today is, while this revival is going on, each time God moves, Satan will also move. Satan is in the business of killing revival. That's why, for some time, I'm beginning to take the topic and title The Enemies of Revival. I want you to know them. I want you to know them. I try to look at about 9 or 10 areas. If time permits me, I will look at 3 now. Then we will continue 3 the next time. Then we will continue the balance the next time. But for now, the enemies of revival. What can quench the revival you have, both as an individual Christian and also as a church, the body of Christ? Number one is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The lust of the flesh. The first and closest enemy you have is your flesh. It's your flesh. This is the way Jesus Christ put it. Matthew 26 to Peter and the apostles. Matthew 26. Now, verse 40 and verse 41. Remember, he was going to be crucified, and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray about 3 times there. He told them, you know, watch here, wait here, and pray. I'm going to pray yonder. And he cried to the Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples from his prayers now, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? This way I'm going. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Everybody read the next statement. Shall we go? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let me tell you something. The anointing you received, listen to me very well. The anointing you received, the fire you received, the revival, the restoration you received, the baptism of the Holy Ghost you received. Listen, church. You did not receive it in your eye. It does not affect your eye. It does not affect your ear. It does not affect your leg. It does not affect your mouth. It is affecting your spirit man, your soul. Amen. And that is why there is the battle between the spirit man and the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. Amen. Now, Galatians. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. This is the way he put it. This I say then, walk in the spirit. That is, live your life in the spirit. If you do that, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So the first hindrance to your spiritual progress is your flesh. But, verse 18, if you be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. And when you say the flesh here, this is what the flesh is interested in. Listen, this flesh that we have does not love prayers. This flesh does not love fasting. That's why, amen, if you were sitting down here and watching football, you will never be tired. Because that is the one that the flesh wants. But as soon as you are listening to a message that is piercing to the soul, sleep will begin to catch you. Because the flesh is not interested in it. It does not affect him in any way. I want you to know the closest enemy you have. So you understand what the Bible says. You should love your enemy. If your enemy is dirty, clean him. If your enemy is hungry, give him food. Eh? If your enemy is ugly, beautify him. Eh? In so doing, you are heaping coal of fire upon him. That's the closest enemy. Many of us look away from the closest enemy. See, when the Bible says, a man's foes shall be them of his household. Amen. You look far, far away. You're looking at witches. You're looking at wizards. This revival that you have received, the first battle that you will face, and some of us have started facing it already. Already. 21 days, you know, chop. Chop now, recover all you lost. 21 days, so. Why should they pray now? 21 days, you don't sleep. Prayer. You don't do now. You don't start with that, oh. Amen. How do you know? Amen. The loss of the flesh. Verse 19. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? The things that this flesh enjoy, love to do. Which you must deny it. That's where the battle is. Number one, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Can never inherit the kingdom of God. You can't. And we read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 so that you will understand these things very well. They started a revival in the wilderness that was supposed to take them through to the promised land. But many of them could not reach the promised land. Why? The enemies of revival. Why? The reasons we see there are largely what this same thing we're talking about, the loss of the flesh. We saw how one day, just one day, in Numbers chapter 25, the feast of Balaam, every one of us know it, when Balaam could not curse the children of Israel, he gave an advice to King Balak. Don't worry. If you are going to curse them, they are under a covenant. They can never fall. You can never succeed in cursing them. God told me he has blessed them. You can't curse them. That is why in the Bible, he, God, up to the book of Revelation, he still hates the doctrine of Balaam. And I have preached a message that I titled The Doctrine of Balaam. If you have forgotten, with time I will preach it again. Yes, what is the doctrine of Balaam? It's simple. It's still going on today in the church of Jesus Christ. As long as you are under a covenant with God, nobody can curse you. Nobody can curse you. But that old Satan knows it. Don't worry. If you are going to say you are throwing anything against these people, it will not work. They have a covenant with God. So the best thing is, do something. lead them to do something that will make God to be angry with them. Then the anger of God will come upon them. Maybe you curse them. You curse them. You don't curse them. Now God by himself, they deal with them. That is the doctrine of Balaam. And the feast of, that was organized under the advice of Balaam. Read it from Numbers 25 and Numbers 31. It was explained there. Now you discover that he then told them, you know, they have been in the wilderness under very strict laws of holiness. And so, what you should do is invite them to attend a feast. After all, we are related. They are Edomites. They are the descendants of Esau. Esau is a twin brother of Jacob. So, are they not one? They are one. They are one. Tell them, we know you are in a journey. So, we decided to just welcome you as you are passing through our land to go. We just decide to hold a banquet for you. Remember the purpose of that banquet was not to honor their brother, it's to finish you. And then he went, and then they now arranged those girls. The same thing that happened in Genesis chapter 6 when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. It's the same agenda. The same thing again. As he dressed them, they began to come and dance a willow. And dance all those sexy dance. Cladded. And do you know that that dance takes place in the church today? Nobody can go to a nightclub to go and watch that type of dance. But now, it is organized. I know of churches that organize cultural day. What has Christianity got to do with culture? When they have nothing anymore to preach, that is when they begin to organize all manner of things. They organize football. Is football having anything to do with the spirit? No, it's the flesh. They organize all manner of things. Now, they bring comedians to come and make jests at the pulpit and for believers to be laughing. Let us laugh with Jesus. Does that have to do with the soul? No. What is it gratifying? The flesh. And then, when these children of Israel saw, you know, they will arrange those guests, they will select them, they will tell them how to do that type of dance. You can imagine, just imagine, remember, they are targeting something. And as soon as they came, they told them, here, feel free, they have anything you like, do with them. Feel free, just do anything. They say, you mean we can, you can, oh yeah. Oh! And we know the story. One day, what Balaam could not achieve, to curse them. One day, 24,000 died from the anger of God. Do you know what it means? In one day, 24,000 die in an occasion. Not 24 people, oh. Not 2,400, oh. 24,000. 1, 2, 3. Imagine dead bodies, 24,000. And that revival ended for those people. It ended for them. That's the reason why Colossians chapter 3, Apostle Paul put it this way. Enemies of revival, your flesh, the lust of the flesh. This is the way Apostle Paul put it from verse 1. He says, it's a long reading, but it's the admonishment. I want you to hear directly from Paul himself. If you then be risen with Christ, Seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify. Check them. Check them. Tame them. Tame them. Mortify them. Fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Because it is because of all these things the unbelievers are doing, that is why hellfire has been created. That's what he's telling you there. In the which you also, all of us here, sometime when you lived in them, but now that we have received the Holy Ghost, we are believers. You also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And he goes on. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, what should you put on? Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Finally, he said, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him and the Father by him. Mortify. Romans chapter 6. The best way to sing this in your spirit is when you go back and read these scriptures again. Romans chapter 6 verse 11. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't allow it to reign there anymore, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. It is because it is ruling you, that's why. If you say, oh, yeah, go and fornicate, you will go like zombie. If you say go and thief, you will do it. If you say go and steal, everything you do is just obeying this flesh. He said, no. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin, everybody, verse 14, shall we go? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. For sin shall not have dominion over you. This flesh shall not have dominion over you. That's the reason Christians fast regularly. One way to put this body and tame it is to train yourself with an ability to tell this flesh, no, I won't do it. And it's not with your mouth you say it. It's in the heart. Anything you don't accept in the heart, you won't do it. Anything you reject in your heart, you won't do it. And everything you accept in your heart, you will do it. You desire your neighbor's wife, you must sleep with her. It may take you 6 months to plan it. Why? Because their heart is set to do it. And anything you reject in your heart, you hate it. Even in the spirit, in your dream, you will hate it. You will fight it. You reject it. A brother from St. Lucia was telling me how a demon one time visited him physically. He said he was lying down. He said he just finished taking his bath and came to lie down to sleep. He had left his wife outside. He said he came to lie down. He took, his best friend and covered himself. Suddenly, he saw somebody that came to lie down by his side, a woman. You know, he just believed that is his wife. So, you know, he even said, honey, good night. You know, backing the woman that lied down by his side. He said, suddenly, the woman took her hand to hold him and was kissing his ear. Now, he was telling me, he said, suddenly he found himself saying, come on. Now, he said, he won't do that for his wife. He said, he believed that it was the Holy Ghost that did that action. And as soon as he did it, come on, and then he turned and looked, he saw a strange woman. And the woman stood up, now that he has found out, and walked out through the door and went out. He said it was not a vision. He said it was real. He said over there in the Caribbean, he said they don't just come in the spirit. They come spiritual and physical. Now, he was telling me, he said, if he were a fornicator, he said, it will get him. But his spirit man rejects that. And he was telling me this because God was using him mightily. He said, many pastors have fallen. They, once there is a lie, he said, they will write you. He said, they wrote him about 3 or 4 times that he should come and join one society or the other. And they are telling him, what a so-so-so minister, they are all part of us. And when he refused, they started threatening to kill him. There must be no light there. But he said, he will hold the light there. You must decide, if others are falling, if my friends are falling, me, I will stand. It's a decision, because it's a battle. It's a battle. To be recruited into it is very, very simple. But because he hates it from the heart. Anything you hate from the heart, it stays. Even in your sleep. Even in your sleep. Even if they poison you, your leg will not open for the man. Even if they drug you, your spirit will still be fighting. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For sin shall not have dominion over you. No, it must never have dominion over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are conquerors. And the first thing to conquer is your flesh. Number 2, enemy of revival. Pride. Pride. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. In Proverbs chapter 16 verse 18. He says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Before destruction is pride. When you see anybody that is proud, just know that his end is destruction. Oh, praise the Lord. And this is, you see that perfect example is the intermittent believers worldwide. Very easy. You get into that trap without knowing. And that is what some of us, with some statements that I make, there are efforts I'm doing to chase that spirit far from me. As soon as The average man, human beings generally, once you think you have something that other people don't have, pride sets in. And so, it comes to the message. When God brought us this message through the ministry of William Marion Branham, and we got to know things that the denominational world didn't know. And then you are seeing yourself that you didn't go to Bible school, and the reverend doctor does not know what you know. And then before you know what, you see a pride. You know, when you see them going up for evangelism, do you know that the Pope is the Antichrist? All these blind chickens, all these blind vultures. You can't understand me. You know you are not of God. You know, okay, let me prove it. Do you know Sapesit? Okay, which name were you baptized? Blind people. Original life. Original seed. And once you allow that spirit comes, that makes you, instead of you, to be grateful to God. See, the revelation, what a true revelation does, if it is a true revelation you receive, that anchors you. It keeps you humble. It keeps you humble. It's not to make you proud. And as soon as you do that, the Spirit of God hates pride. Once that nature is in you, you refuse to humble yourself, God steps aside to let you know that you are where you are by my grace. What have they done with all the knowledge they have? I am telling you, some of you just came into this message through this church, and you think that what you are seeing here is what is happening among all the believers around the world. It's not so. There's something unique about this place you don't know. Generally, in the entire message, once, like this church now, with all the attention we have, the crowd we have, if it was some other entire message pastor, wow! Hey! We are seeing them. Before this church started, they were jokanuts that we knew them. I mean jokanuts that we knew them. When you have a convention, they will tell you who and which minister come. You will mention their name. So person came and said, he come. There must be a big convention. Then, how many members does he have? Maybe he has up to 200 members. That is why he's a big man in the message. And before you know what, if he does not give approval to your ministry, even your members, they will not accept you as their pastor. Pride sets in. You know something other people don't know. Like the man Ashomolu. Some revelations that he had, that he believed other inter-message people didn't know. That's all. That's why we are his number one problem. You know why? Because everything he knows, I know it. Why? It's the same platform. Where he got it from is where I got it to. It's not what we say every time, Pastor Thomas. It's the same platform. The same platform. It's the same platform. If not, has any of them ever replied me that I preach anything wrong? None. And here you see there, believe me, he has a worldwide ministry, and yet you don't know him. If I was not talking about him here, you would not know. Somebody, sister here, he said that in the same street, she lives in the same street, and she didn't know there was a church there. I am John. He's the chief apostle. He's the lead apostle. Apostle is higher than all the rest. I am the one now. I have heard him say, except you believe I am John, you will never make the rapture. And I say, you are a liar. Wait and see if you ever get there, whether you will not see me. Pride. And as soon as they start that nonsense, God will withdraw. God is looking for a man that is humble. Why do you think he has Apostle Paul? Let me use Apostle Paul as an example first. Why do you think he left a thorn in the flesh of Apostle Paul? Apostle Paul said it himself. Can we read it? 1 Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. People don't know how important this thing is. Verse 7. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. You see? So that he will not be exalted above measure, because he had so much revelation. He has so much anointing. He has such a great ministry. He has such great visitation. You have to read it from verse 1 up to verse 6 to see what he spoke before he made this statement. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God himself wants to keep everyone he is truly using humble. So he will leave something so that you always remember you are a man despite all the revelation you have, despite all the anointing. He said he called upon God 3 times to take this thing away. He called it the messenger of Satan. Satan was always using that thing to torment him. What was his problem? The thorn in the flesh was the problem with his eyes. That eye, that light that struck him on the way to Damascus affected his sight. Remember, he went blind before Ananias came and prayed for him for the sight to be restored. But God restored the sight just enough for him to see and walk about. But he left it a problem there. Satan was always exploring it and dealing with it. He cried to God 3 times. What did God say? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And people don't know it. When you are strong, then God will step aside. But when you say you are weak, then God will come there, so that everybody will know you are not the one. It is him. If not, why will he choose Moses? A stammerer. Why will he choose Moses? A stammerer. And when Moses was saying, I cannot communicate, he said, okay, wait. Instead of healing him, he gave him Aaron. Somebody, you see, when you want to study God so that you will know how to walk with him, especially those of us God is using, I'm telling you, especially, every day, I say this and the Holy Ghost be my witness, my prayer point every day, Lord, make me humble. Let my identity be that people will look at me and say, that is a humble man of God. That is a humble man of God. Don't want anybody to say, this man is too proud. Why should I be proud with all these things I know? I want God to continue with me. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why enter message believers all around the world. We have done nothing with it. Nothing with the precious message that God gave us. Nothing to attract the people there. Nothing. Lucifer is the father of pride. I will. Everybody knows the story of Lucifer, so let me not bother. But you can read it in Isaiah 14. You know, okay, let me emphasize something. Go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. This is the commentary of Satan. Verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros, and say unto him, Thus said the Lord God, Thou sealest up the psalm. Hey, that is to seal up the psalm is you know, the conclusion of perfection. He said, Thou sealest up the psalm, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That's why people who portray Satan in all those films as some horrible looking animal, Nalayo, oh, was a beautiful creature. See now, he said, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Imagine that. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship. See. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. That is, inside of him was music. Instruments of music was inside of, when he sings, oh man. So he was the leader of worship in heaven. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. That's the closest to God. And I have said this, so thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 15. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Till iniquity was found in thee. What is the iniquity that was found? Go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 12. This is how it goes. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are they cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, this is where the iniquity, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the Lord. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That was the iniquity. That was the iniquity. I will, so that you will know why judgment is coming on the Antichrist, who exalted himself above all that is called God. That's what the Bible says. And seated in the temple to be worshipped. It's the same old demon that comes to possess him. See, the mystery of iniquity is the culmination of Satan coming in the flesh, manifesting this time in a man. The mystery of godliness is the creator of the heavens and the earth coming also in a man, Jesus. Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity, also Satan coming also in a man. That you can say, the mystery of godliness, when you see me, you see God, you see my Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Satan too has a vessel he will use. That he will incarnate. And the whole world will see it. This is my beloved servant, in whom I am well pleased. The Antichrist also said, if you see me, you see Satan. I am the way to hell. Satan himself will come in there and dwell for people to know. I will. Now break it down. Check it. All of us that God is using. I will. I have tried to correct the prophets that minister here. Some of them, they forget very easily. Because sometimes they don't even know the implication. I am so conscious that the glory that belongs to God, I will take it. So conscious. When this brother that was testifying today, he made that same mistake. He started, instead of starting to thank God first, he said, I will first thank Pastor Thomas. You all had him. At the back there, fear catch me. Pow. But you know, I am careful. I didn't come immediately to correct it because somebody may think that because he didn't say me. Because he didn't say, I want to tamper, so maybe are they jealous. Now I can't say a lie. No, people are hearing us. You know, so while I was sitting down there, I say, anytime you do that, I am not pretending. You didn't know I took note of it. Anything that will make us share glory with God, I want to separate myself from it. It's not today I learned it. And I've so subjected myself to Him that I'm sensitive about that. When sometime last year, a prophet was discerning a man here. I was holding microphone here. And the man said, ha! And then he said, are you surprised? Have you heard of, he mentioned his name. He said, Nahim the Siso. Ha! I walked to him by the side. I said, I called his name. I tapped him. I put down the microphone. I said, you are looking for trouble with God. I said, you were there. After service, I called him to my office. I said, are you Antichrist? So you are the one seeing that vision. You are the one seeing that revelation. I said, stop that. He didn't even know the implication. Pride. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why he fell. Why did Nebuchadnezzar fall? It's the same thing. Until God let him know that he, God, ruled in the affairs of men. And that it is within his power to make you a king and within his power to bring you down. And he proved it. 7 years. Put him in the bush there. A king. Became an animal eating grass. Changed his digestive system. Changed, turned a human being to an animal. He is a God that can do and undo. Would you fear him? Would you fear him?